Please take out your cream or tan-colored sheet that has 1 Peter chapter 3. Hopefully you all have one. Everybody got one? Okay. Keep this. Do not turn it back in. You're welcome to turn back in the little lavender-colored sheet. We'll reuse these again. As we go through 1 Peter, we are not reusing these. We want you to take these and put it in your purse, in your pocket, take it with you, put it in your car, when you're someplace, and you're going through your coat, and all of a sudden, what's this? Oh, it's 1 Peter, and you might be surprised how the Lord will use that, but you can't use it if you don't have it with you, so please take it with you. 1 Peter chapter 3 is God's word for us, and it is a word that is living and active. And Christians have been reading and hearing and following these words for centuries. As we go through there, as we go through these words, if there's something like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable, or I'm not so sure about that, or, pay special attention to that, because the Lord uses His word to help us to see in our own lives where we can follow Him, where we need His healing and His comfort and His mercy and His consolation. And also He gives us His word for our direction. God's word helps us when we wonder, well, how should I live? What choices should I make? What decision should I go with? God's word is living and active and provides a guide for us. And if there's something that doesn't make sense or you don't understand, don't let that trouble you. But go with what you do understand, because the Lord is at work through His word. And it is a word which gives us peace in the assurance of His grace and mercy. It wasn't written with chapters and verses, so I'm just going to read through it. And if you remember, chapter 2 ended with Peter addressing how servants should live. So servants, and then he's going to address wives and husbands, but he says likewise, and then he's going to address the whole community of believers. Some very encouraging words for us on this Lenten Wednesday in the name of Jesus. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. For who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.